poetry is man's rebellion against being what he is. What about Chinaski? He's ugly. All he wants is a little piece of immortality. But immortality can be hard to come by. Tip your glass just so, and it's gone. Another illusion down the vanishing point.
The night before I met Cass, I was sitting in one of those plastic-coated chairs. You know, the kind you find in any cheap Hollywood Court motel. I had a bottle of beer, German beer, in one hand, while the other hand was hard at work trying to pound out the immortal poem. I felt on the verge of something big.
Yeah, this Chinaski.
Are you Henry Chinaski, the writer? You don't know me, but I really understand your stuff. Yeah, I'm writing these stories, you know, myself, and I was wondering if I could bring over a couple of six-packs.
The beer you can bring over any time, as long as you don't come in the door. Goodbye.
The phone rings. I answer. Some of them write. Some of them can't write. Some of them want to write, but they have such dull and horrible jobs, and they can't face their ugly rooms alone. They don't believe I can't help them, that I don't know the words. In the meantime, I sit here drinking German beer, trying to come up with the immortal...
Yeah, there's Chinaski.
Henry?
Hello?
It's me. I love you.
Thanks.
Is that all you've got to say?
Yes.
Then eat.
Okay. I'm coming. I'm coming.
The immortal poem eluded me. I took myself down to the West End bar. Smoke hovered in clouds around the broken light fixtures. Fights among the Chicanos and the hookers usually drowned out any music on the jukebox. In a place like this, a man could feel at home.
Hey, muchacha! Let's go!
Hey, puta!
Howdy, Hank. What'll it be?
Scotch. Straight up.
Thanks, Louie. Lively tonight, huh?
Yeah, you're not kidding. Hey, leave her alone.
That was the first time I laid eyes on Cass. There she was, kicking and screaming in the middle of the fight. Because of it, from the looks of things. Cass was half Indian, with a wonderful snake-like body and eyes that matched. Some said she was crazy, some thought she was a sex machine and didn't care if she was crazy or not. Cass was the most beautiful woman in town.
What's the matter with you, Cass? You don't like our customers.
How do you expect me to like them? They got no guts, no insides. They just ride in and their perfect little noses and earlobes. They're all surface. Move over, big boy.
She came over and sat right next to me. Some might have said that I was the ugliest man on the block. But I felt proud at that moment. And I put my arm around her.
Want a drink?
Sure, why not?
Another couple of shots, Louie. You barely seem old enough to drink. Somebody forged you an ID.
I don't need no ID. Do you think I'm pretty?
Of course.
People are always accusing me of being pretty. Why is that?
Pretty isn't the word. You're a hell of a lot more than that.
Here, you see this hat pin?
Yeah, I see it.
So, just watch where it goes.
Hey, stop! Stop!
Hey, what? Now, you...
Before I could stop her, she'd run this long hat pin right through her nose sideways, just about. <next to her. laughs>
So, what do you think of me now, man? Am I still pretty?
Cass, you act up like that again and you're out. We don't need your dramatics here.
Oh, fuck you,
hey,
man.
Hey, keep yourself straight.
She'll be all right, Lou.
No, no, not this one. She just got here and already she's running downhill fast.
Jess, don't do that.
It's my nose. I can do what I want with it.
No. No, it hurts me.
You mean it hurts you when I stick a pin in my nose?
Yes. I mean it.
All right. I'll take it out.
Here. You're still bleeding.
It's all right. Can I have a cigarette?
Sure.
Thanks.
We sat there for a long time. Smoking, drinking, easy talking. After closing, Cass walked back with me to my place.
Can I look around?
Go ahead. Ain't much of a room, though. But there's beer in the fridge.
What's this stuff?
Poetry.
You a writer?
Sometimes I write. Most of the time I sit around doing nothing.
Poems, huh?
Yeah. I never made it selling encyclopedias.
I sell dreams. Those guys in the bar drive them crazy.
What'd you do before that?
I was in a convent.
You mean with nuns and all?
Yep, just got out a few weeks ago.
No kidding. You got any real family?
5 sisters, including me. They accuse me of being beautiful and misusing my beauty. What do you think?
I think you need another beer.
Oh, I can't drink anymore. I'm going to try out your bed, okay?
Yeah, suit yourself. Cass jumped up on the bed. Then she laughed and started jumping and bouncing like a wild woman. A real sexy.
What sort of things can we do on this trampoline of yours, Henry?
Well, that's up to you, Cass.
Wait till I get my clothes off.
In half a minute, she had it all off, except for a little T-shirt. I remember thinking some man was going to ruin her someday. I hoped it wouldn't be me. Move over, Cass.
You want it now or in the morning?
In the morning. Good night.
You know, you're the first man I've met who's turned it down at night.
It's okay. We don't have to do it at all.
Come back here, lover man.
You have a beautiful body, Cass.
Don't say that.
She kissed with abandon, but without haste. I let my hands run over her body, through her hair. I wanted to make it last as long as possible.
Henry?
Uh-huh.
You don't know how lucky you are to be ugly.
Okay, so I'm lucky.
I don't mean you're ugly. You have a fascinating face.
Thanks.
People just think you're ugly. But then, when people like you, you know it's for something else.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Next morning, I got up early, made us a couple of coffees. Later, I drove Cass back to the West End bar. The day after, I was in the bath in the middle of the afternoon when she barged in carrying this large leaf. It looked like an elephant ear.
Hey, nature boy. I knew you'd be in the bathtub, so I brought you something to cover that thing with.
How'd you know I'd be in the tub?
Just knew.
All right. All right, I'll get up.
Look at you, Henry. You're a beast. Just a great, big, hairy, ugly beast.
How you doing, Cass? Almost every day, Cass arrived when I was in the tub. The times were different, but she seldom missed, and always with some kind of an elephant leaf. Then we'd make love. It was comfortable and good. Too good to last.
All right. All right, I'm coming. All right. Yeah. This, Janeski.
Come and get me out of here.
Cass, where the hell are you?
Those sons of bitches. I didn't start no fight, you know it.
Cass, where?
I'm in the tank. Where the crazy hell do you think I am?
All right. I'll be there.
Bailing Cass out of jail at 2 a.m. became another part of our routine. I borrowed some money from Louis, and I signed the papers.
Wasn't my fault, eh?
Never mind. Here's your stuff.
Don't want to see you in here again, miss.
Goes for me, too, you big apes.
Don't worry, officer. I'll take care of her. Cass? Cass! Wait! You gotta stop doing this, Cass.
Oh, it's those sons of bitches of the West End. Just because they buy you a few drinks, they think they can get into your pants.
If you accept their drinks, you create your own trouble.
Whose side you on?
Nobody's, babe. Oh,
sons of bitches. Just want my body. Thought they were interested in me.
Well, a lot of men are gonna have trouble seeing past your body. You gotta accept that.
Why do I gotta accept? Jesus
Christ. Hey, where are you going?
Back to the bar.
You can't. Louis told me you broke a chair over some regular's head.
Son of a bitch, asked for it. You coming back with me or not?
I'm going home to bed.
You're not running out of me now, bastard.
Sorry, Cass. You go back there. You're on your own.
All right, I will.
Fine.
That all you can say? Fine? Son of a bitch.
Cass!
Coward! Bastard! Coward!
Times like that, Cass was more than I could handle. Once we got to fighting, she wouldn't stop till she won. I was tired and sore by the time I got back to the motel.
I'm coming, damn you. Go to hell, you bitch.
Henry?
It was my editor.
I've been trying to reach you all night.
You succeeded. How's the book selling?
Slowly. There's an invitation for a poetry reading in Sacramento.
What's it pay?
$100 and bus fare.
Allen Ginsberg gets $1,000.
He's Allen Ginsberg. There's also a free lunch.
I'll take it. I did the reading in Sacramento. Ended up staying 3 months. Guess I felt like bumming around. Maybe I just needed distance from Cass. Of course, the money ran out, and I had to take a job in a dog biscuit factory, sorting the green ones from the pink ones from the plain ones. I was given instructions by a toothless elf with a film over his right eye. It was white and green with spidery blue lines.
And that? What to do? Think you can handle it? I'm not talking about the job. I'm talking about your mind, mister.
I worked the late shift. It wasn't so bad. Mind you, I came in drunk every night. Didn't seem to matter. Nobody else would take a job like that. Then one night, I'd been there about an hour, and I got sober by accident. I quit.
Pink flamingo. For you, Hank.
Okay, I'm coming.
Thanks. Yeah, this is Chinesky.
Is that you, Henry?
Uh-huh.
How are you?
Oh, fine.
I hear you're living in a whorehouse.
That's right.
I don't understand how you can live in a place like that.
Oh, it's easy.
There's another reading.
Where this time?
A library back in L.A. Only pays $50.
You expect me to come back for $50?
Only if you feel like it.
I'll let you know.
And is this on? Yes. And now, hot off the Greyhound bus, Henry Chinaski, poet at large.
Thank you. When God
I need another beer.
It wasn't the $50 that drove me back to L.A. It was a need I was feeling to check in on Cass.
When God created dogs, he didn't help dogs. When God created plants, that was average. When God created hate, we had a standard utility. When God created me, he created me. When God created the monkey, he was asleep. When he created the giraffe, he was drunk. And when he created narcotics, he was high. And when he created suicide, he was low.
I looked up and I saw a woman moving at the back. For a moment, I thought it was her.
But when he created you, lying in bed, he knew what he was doing. He was drunk, and he was high, and he created the mountains and the sea and fire all at the same time. Now, God Almighty, he made some mistakes, but when he created you, you lied in bed.
You beast, you hairy beast.
After the reading, I headed down to the West End bar. It was Saturday night. The sounds were friendly and familiar.
Hey, good to have you back.
Thanks, Lou. I'd only been there a few minutes when in she went.
Well, faster. I see you're back.
Yes. Yeah, just in time to give a reading.
That's so?
Yeah. Sit down. I'll buy you a beer.
Make it a scotch, and it's a deal.
Give us a couple here, Louie.
Whatever you say, Hank.
So, you're back for good, bastard?
For as long as I can handle it. Come on, Cass. Let me have a look at you.
She turned to me, almost shy-like, as if I'd never seen her body before. She was wearing this high-necked dress. It was different, oriental-looking. And under each eye were two pins with glass heads. All you could see was the glass heads, but the pins were driven deep into her face.
Damn you, Cass. Still trying to destroy your beauty, huh?
No, it's a fad, you fool.
Like hell. You're crazy.
Some men like that.
Not me. Pull those pins out.
I told you, it's just a fad.
It's making me very unhappy.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Okay, Hank. For you. Turn your head away.
I did as she said. When I looked back, the pins were gone and Cass was wiping away traces of blood with a Kleenex. Why do you haggle your beauty, Cass? Why don't you just live with it?
Because then people think it's all I have. Beauty is nothing. It won't last.
I need another drink. Louie.
Yeah.
Same again.
Sure.
I missed you.
Is there anybody else?
No, there isn't anybody else. Except I'm hustling now. Cost $20. Only you get it free.
I got my old room back. You want to take a night off work?
Yeah.
That's all? Just, yeah?
Yeah.
As we left together, I noticed how much people on the street would stare at Cass. She was still a beautiful woman. Perhaps more beautiful than ever.
The room hasn't changed.
What's that?
The room's the same.
Yeah. Just have to unpack a few books and my piano.
Your what?
My piano. I call it my piano. Makes it sound important, like Chopin.
It is important. Everything you write is music, Hank.
And you're the only person, aside from myself, who's ever said that. You want beer or wine?
Wine. But first, I want to check out the trampoline. Woo! Nobody's busted any of your springs yet.
Yeah, we'll have to work on that.
Then get up here and help me.
No, Cass. Cass, hey, what are you doing? Cass.
Come on, you're not that old. Not that heavy.
All right. Woo! Woo! Hey. Sorry I walked out on you, Cass.
Shut up about that. You got no right to be sorry.
I know, but...
I needed to be on my own, too, okay?
Sure.
You can kiss me now.
Beautiful Cass. Beautiful woman. She was like joy out of fire that night. I held her and we kissed for a long time. We became heated. I pulled back the bed covers. Cass took off her high-necked dress, and then I saw it. An ugly, jagged scar ran across her throat. It was large and thick. God damn you, woman. What have you done now?
What's the matter? Don't you like me anymore?
Cass.
I tried it with a broken bottle one night. Am I still beautiful?
God damn you.
Great for hustling. Some men pay the $20 and once I undress, they don't want to do it anymore. I keep the money. It's very funny.
Cass, bitch, I love you. Stop destroying yourself.
I'm sorry.
Cass was crying with hardly a sound. I could feel the tears. Her long black hair enveloped her like a flag of death. We enjoyed and made slow and somber and wonderful love. In the morning, she was up before me, making breakfast and looking radiantly happy.
All right, you beast. Up. Get in here and enjoy the feast. Come on.
What is this, Cass? You expecting royalty?
Just you, you hairy beast. Is it good, Hank? Or what?
Oh, it's good. Very good. She was beaming like a child. Cass. The way I loved her. You want any more chips? Sandwiches? Beer? Soda pop?
No, thanks.
No. My old man used to come here and play shuffleboard with the old folks. You know, the kind of people who buy their dentures on credit. Yeah, about as much passion as a traffic signal. I didn't mind, though. It'd be the one time the old man and I weren't fighting about why I couldn't hold a job.
I never came here as a kid.
Oh? Why not?
Don't know. Just seem to have been indoors all the time.
Sure you don't want a drink or something?
Nah, let's just stay where we are.
Okay. We lay on the sand and slept together for more than an hour. It was better than lovemaking. When we woke, the beach was empty. Nothing but the waves and peace between us. Cass?
Mm-hmm.
I got a couple of readings I have to do up the coast. I won't be gone more than 3 days, 4 days at the most.
That's okay.
Anyways, I was wondering when I get back about you and me maybe shacking up together.
No.
We spent the rest of the day on the beach,
Then I drove Cass back to the bar. She kissed me goodbye, laughed, and ran off, waving.
See you on Friday.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
I did the readings as fast as I could. At one of them, a red-haired woman, maybe 30 or so, raised her skirt and tried to carry me off into the redwood forest. I told her I didn't need the action. Where were you? Where were you when I was living on one candy bar a day and sending short stories to the Atlantic Monthly? Besides, I was in a hurry to get back to Cass. I got to the West End on Friday night around 10 as we'd planned. I didn't see Cass anywhere, and I was already half drunk when Louie finally came in at midnight.
Howdy, Hank.
Hey there, Lou.
Hey, sorry about your girlfriend.
What?
You don't know?
No.
Suicide. She was buried yesterday.
Buried? You son of a bitch.
Her sisters took care of the arrangements.
I see. How'd she do it?
She cut her throat in the bathroom. I'm sorry, Hank.
It's okay. Just give me another beer. Cass, the most beautiful of the five sisters, the most beautiful girl in town, dead at 20. I drank until closing. Then I crawled home. Maybe she didn't care. No, she cared, you bastard. You know she cared. Yeah. You asked, and she said no. You're a dog. No. Why blame the dogs? You should have insisted. Understand, you should have insisted she stay because you knew. You understand? You knew. Yeah. Liz Chinaski.
Mr. Chinaski, it's me again. Look, I just read your new book.
Shut up, you goddamn son of a bitch. You call me again and I'll kill you.
The night was closing in. There was nothing I could do.
Chinaski didn't turn into a prince when Beauty kissed him. In fact, Beauty started wishing she could be like him. Ugly. She finally got what she wanted. At the vanishing point.
The Most Beautiful Woman in Town by Charles Bukowski. Dramatized by Ken Gass and Mina E. Mina. Featured in the cast were Mina E. Mina as Henry and Gina Wilkinson as Cass, with Tom Butler, David Bolt, Elliot McIver, Jim Henshaw, and Marianne Coles in a variety of roles. Casting consultant was Beth Russell. Recording engineer was John McCarthy, with sound effects by Matt Wilcott, and the production assistant was Peggy Este. Original music was by Wayne Kelso. The series script editor is Sandra Rabinovich. The series theme is by John Roby, and the voice of Vanishing Point is David Calderisi. The Most Beautiful Woman in Town was produced and directed at Studio G in Toronto by Ken Gass. The executive producer of Vanishing Point is William Lane. Until next week, I'm Lorna Jackson, wishing you good night.